This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
On today's podcast, we talk to the only author we know with a DeLorean, Matthew Riley.
Yeah, we speak about how I'm a charity case
you
at
sure
the moment
are.
And I'm reaping the benefits.
You are milking it for all it's worth.
Yeah, and we talk about how people, when they do you favours, if something stuffs up, if you can thank them or not. That's not what we did.
Pretty close to it.
Angry at someone who's done you a favour, but they've stuffed up something massively?
No. We're going to talk to people about things that they do with stuff near the thing.
You've nailed it.
You're gonna love it.
Thank you.
He's a professional.
Thank you.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We heard the unfortunate story of a young man named Mitchell who took his boss's car to get, or ute it was, wasn't it, to get a bath, basically, down to the car wash. What a great bloke.
Yeah.
He left the ladder on top. Yeah. It's not a good idea if you're thinking about it.
Because all the dangly bits that, like, wash your car, they got stuck on the ladder and they basically pulled the car wash down on top of the car, smashing the windscreen. He had to crawl out and $50,000 damage to the car wash, let alone we don't know how much damage was done to the car. So his boss wasn't very happy.
Turns out. But he was doing a favour. And you think, can you get angry at somebody that's doing you a favour even if they stuff up? That's the question we're asking. Luke's in Aussie Park. Hi, Luke.
How you going, guys?
Good, G'day, Luke. How are you?
What happened?
Yeah, not too bad. Oh, I was doing a mate a favour and he asked me to tow his car to the mechanic. So he hired a trailer and we loaded it up. Just pulled onto the freeway and started to sway and the car rolled off the trailer.
You're kidding. Okay, so the car's going backwards. You're having a heart attack.
Well, did it cause damage?
Complete write-off.
It caused damage.
Okay, so what was the reaction afterwards, Luke?
Oh, well, he wasn't impressed.
But does he, like, can he give you a hard time, really? Because you were doing him the favour.
Oh, not too much of a hard time. The car was pretty much toasted anyway, so... got a new car out of it, so yeah, you find me a couple of beers for that.
Let's go to Michelle in Coolangap. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good,
Hi, Michelle.
Now, who was doing who a favour and what happened?
Well, I was doing a friend's friend a favour. I had a girlfriend living with me, and she had a young niece. So, and her young niece's friend was going to a school ball. So she wanted her hair bleached, but she couldn't afford to do it.
God, Michelle.
I thought, I've seen it done a million times because my friend's a hairdresser. I can do this. So I said, yep, no worries, I'll do it. So I got the bleach, got the elf oil, you know, did the foils, and halfway through it started smoking. And
oh, my God.
I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've got to get this foil out. So I put a head under the tap and started washing it out. Well, as I'm washing it out, chunks of hair are falling out.
Oh, and Michelle.
Yeah, she sort of ended up bald in quite a few places.
Oh, you
when
can't
was it bald?
Do that to a How young niece.
How many days to a ball, Michelle?
I think she only had about 2 weeks to go until the ball,
So not long enough for the hair to grow back.
No way.
Definitely.
Oh, no, not long enough for the hair to grow back and sort of not long enough to sort of fix the bleach or anything like that.
So what was the aftermath?
What was the reaction?
The aftermath was she wasn't angry. I think she was obviously upset. She was, like, she was crying. She didn't sort of wipe me clean or anything because she was my friend's niece's friend anyway. So she sort of, either it didn't bother me, which sounds really awful, but
It didn't bother me.
She wiped her hands clean.
Okay, this is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We're talking about that tricky minefield of when somebody does you a favour and yet they stuff up. Can you get angry or not?
Well, what a coinkydink. Let me just go and grab someone from there.
Yeah, why not? Because something has happened this morning. Every day I give the assistant in the newsroom some money to go and get me a coffee because obviously I can't do it. And every day they bring me coffee and other people too. You know, it's not always just me. And then this morning, Amber, who has done it with a great aplomb on many occasions.
She's been amazing.
Amber, what did you do?
It wasn't my fault. So I think the lady down at the cafe got a long black mixed up with a long Mac.
So you failed to enunciate properly.
I think so.
Long and it was black. And this is
it's not on you, Amber.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Natalie, you paid for the coffee that you don't want out of your own money.
Yeah.
Can you get angry?
Can I throw it in Amber's face?
Yeah. Well, this is the question. How are you feeling, Natalie? How do you feel?
I said, I'll drink it anyway. So I'm
it'd be a little bit passive aggressive, but you can, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's passive. No, I think it's just probably just aggressive.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal, Natalie. I don't think splashing hot coffee in a face is warranted. I think maybe let it cool down, then pour it over a headlight.
Are you right with that, Amber?
Well, that's why I sent Ellie in to give it to you.
She wouldn't even deliver it to me.
Oh, you're lovely.
Okay, Amber. Sorry.
You're on notice.
Written warning coming your way.
Great example.
All right, let's go to Rita now. Hi, Rita.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Rita. Did you do someone a favour?
I did try. My newlywed son-in-law and daughter went to America recently, and they had some new seedlings in their garden. And I thought I would just go over and make all the garden nice by the time they got home in 5 weeks.
What a lovely thing to do.
It was. Beautiful flowers when they get home. Yes. 5 weeks later, after hand watering every day and fertilising weekly or more often, they're all dead when they got home.
Hang on, you mean they're all dead?
You killed everything.
Killed everything.
So your loving care killed
it. But we also cleaned the driveway and we sort of put a little bit of that poisoning sort of stuff on it. So we hosed it and I think it might have gone into the garden beds as well.
So basically you've salted the earth and made the land barren.
That's it. Just a little bit, just a touch.
Barren.
Okay.
So Rita, how was it when they came home?
It was dead.
What was their reaction? Did they get angry?
No, not well, sort of. I think it was just a little bit strained for a little bit. Just a little while.
Luckily, they were really jet lagged and couldn't deal with
They didn't see it until the next. They came home middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and so they didn't see it. And it was very. We don't talk about it, let's say that.
Well, let's put it this way. Had you not done all that stuff, it would have died anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's sort of like, saying to your mum, can you come over and clean my house? And she comes over and poos in the lounge room. It's a bit like, come on, mum.
Very funny, though. I think it was on a rig tick, sort of like an automatic rig tick.
So you didn't need to do any of that at all?
No, and there was a fact, like, you didn't really need to do it, mum. So, yeah.
You're a murderer. Murderer of nature.
Let's go to Paul in Coolangarp. Hi, Paul.
How are you, Nathan and Nat?
Hi.
What about Sean?
What about me, mate? You got nothing for me.
No, Sean, you can leave the room for this. All right, Paul, continue.
Yeah, mine was...
Paul, that's... Oh, we'll see you next time, Paul.
No, we're listening. Natalie and I are completely listening, Paul.
No, I'm
great story,
joking.
Paul.
Never been more interested.
Oh, yeah, isn't it riveting?
Yeah.
No, this goes back a few years, so I can say it on the radio now because I think everyone all forgotten.
All right.
But my mate owns a heavy-duty diesel workshop, so he works on a lot of trucks.
Yeah.
And I went down there because I'm a truckie, and as you do on your day off, you hang around his office and had a coffee and that.
Yeah.
I said, oh, do you want a bit of a hand today? You know, I'll just give you a hand. He goes, oh, yeah, do you want to go and jack the cab over on that Kenworth? So it was a cab over Kenworth, so, you know, like you see running around.
Yep.
So I thought, yeah, no problems. I'll go and do that for you. I jacked the cab over.
Yeah.
Really good. It pulled out the rams that pumped the cab up.
Yep.
And the cab went onto the ground.
You literally
smashed all the windscreen, wrecked the roof, ripped all the airlines out that go to the cab, took all the wiring out. And you know how you just stand, and I just went, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then you were like, I've got to go now.
Oh, no.
No, I walked into his office because he's in there, and you just stand and you went, oh, no. Come out. And that would have been, that was a favour that went
badly. How much damage would that have been?
Well, it was an insurance job after that, so probably out of an oil change, $6,000 to repair it.
Oh, Paul, that is nasty.
Oh, but he's really cool. He just looked at it and he just laughed and went, oh, well. And I just went, oh, I'm so sorry, because it just, just smashed the whole front of the cab.
No. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
So the book is called The Four Legendary Kingdoms.
Yes.
Matthew Riley, you've done it again. You're very prolific.
You know, it's funny. I release them every 2 years. I don't feel prolific.
Two years? It seems like we see you every... Like, it's a yearly thing.
We just spoke to you about the Dragon Book.
That was two years ago. 2014 it was.
Heavens.
Is it?
Our life is being sucked up by some vortex, Matt. Here. Write a book about that in Nova that just sucks your years away from you.
The thing about this Four Legendary Kingdoms, it's straight to number one.
Yeah.
Straight away.
You're like Beyonce.
Hey, I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. Eh? Now, this one it's been fun because it's follows up from a series that I started with Seven Ancient Wonders. And the last book in this series was in 2009. So people have been waiting 7 years.
You've kept them hanging. Oh, wow.
For this one. So, and I do a big surprise in this one. Fans have been asking for a long time if I could combine the heroes of the Seven Wonders series and the Scarecrow series.
It's like the time that Magnum P.I. was on Murder, She Wrote.
That's exactly it.
And it's like, oh my God.
My
brain's not even like functioning right now. That's exciting, seeing worlds collide.
Well, and people dig it.
Yes.
And they dig it in the same way that Magnum and Murder, She Wrote did it, and even, say, the Avengers or and Superman. And
yep.
Fans have been asking for a long time, and they may not realise it, but I really listen at the book signings, and if people say, hey, you know, could you put Scarecrow and Jack West together in a book? I'm like, okay, you know,
all right.
Enough people have asked, and give it a go.
How very obliging of you. Because there'd be some authors like, no, I'm an artist, I'm doing it my way.
But then the pressure is on. Actually,
yes, of course.
I'm never like that. I have met people who are like that. Mm. And the pressure was on, though, because then you have to do it right.
Yeah.
And so this one took
a lot
of...
You don't want to disappoint those people that have asked for it.
You can't disappoint them, and... I've been pleased, and the result's been fantastic. People have dug it.
How much research, then, do you have to go back and look at your own stuff that you've written? Is it front of mind always? Oh. Because, like you said, they will pick up on anything that might be just a bit off.
That's exactly right. Seven Wonders was in 2005,
yeah.
So I actually have to go and reread the old books. There was a fantasy author. I think it was Robert Jordan. He killed off a character in, like, book 7.
And then brought them back.
And then in book 11, he just blithely brings back the character, and it takes the fans 2 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
To spot the
Absolutely.
Error.
Absolutely.
And then they're on Facebook straight away.
It happens in the Gilmore Girls, Natalie, a lot. No, I've been rewatching it because it's going to be released again, you know, so I'm super excited about that. Mm. But just the other night, I was watching another episode where they were talking about Jesse's father leaving Jesse's mother 2 years beforehand. And then when Jesse's father rocks up, he's never ever met him. So it's like, come on.
Oh, come on.
Stick to your script, mate.
I was checking out your Instagram a little while ago, and you're doing lightsaber training. The guy who was teaching you.
At the
Academy? It looked amazing. But who? Tell us about it, and also the guy who was teaching you.
So that was at Supernova in Brisbane, the pop culture convention. He's a guy from a group called Sons of Obi-Wan, and they build these awesome lightsabers.
They're indestructible,
Indestructible. Yeah. Because remember when you were a kid and you got a toy lightsaber and you grabbed your brother and you said, let's go and have a lightsaber fight, and one hit, your lightsaber folded in half.
Yeah, that's it.
And he just went, man, I can't have a fight.
These guys make theirs and then throw them out of a 3-story window to see if they'll break, and
survived.
They don't.
Isn't that amazing?
We were whacking them hard.
Yeah.
And he's got all the skills, and you remember the prequels don't have too much, you know, to make them that worthy, but the lightsaber fights in the Star Wars prequels were awesome. And this dude, he knows all the swirling stuff, and so he taught me, and we sort of filmed me doing it. The best thing about those lightsabers, you take a photo of them, and it looks like
awesome.
A beam of light.
Yeah.
It really looks like it.
Yeah. We always like to talk to you about the DeLorean as well.
Yes,
how's that going? Taken out for a spin recently?
It's a very good question, because I just moved to Los Angeles 2 years ago. After we did the interview for Great Zoo of China, I moved to LA.
It was that interview went so badly, I had to leave the country.
I didn't want to say that. So the DeLorean, which I got converted to right-hand drive, had to stay here. So I just loaned it to a friend who lives in Canberra. So he basically drives around and gets his milk and bread with the DeLorean. If you're in Canberra, you know.
And so what are you driving in LA?
I've got a whopping fast Mercedes Benz.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Let's go back to your friend. You just lend a friend the DeLorean.
Yeah. Yeah.
How good
you got to start it every now and then, don't you?
Yeah. He's a good friend. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, he's, you know, turning the engine over and keeping it running.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy about it, and he's pretty happy.
The DeLorean.
So.
That's
Imagine if your friend gave you the DeLorean.
Like, come on. You can hard to borrow your normal car off a friend, let alone that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How many of them are in the world that are operational?
They made about 4,000. DeLoreans.
Yeah.
I think they're all operational. Hey, mine broke down all over Sydney when I was driving it.
Flux capacitor, is that what it was?
You know, I was actually given a flux capacitor. So mine is a time-traveling model.
That's amazing.
You're so funny.
Your life.
I want it.
Matthew had the Back to the Future Nike boots on as well. Because it was back... We spoke about that earlier on. So it's a couple of months
ago. How does the lacing work? Is it good? Is it legit?
I got the Nike boots in the original Michael J. Fox Foundation bidding thing where they put them on eBay and you bidded. I bought some tickets in the new one, the one this year where they did the self-lacing ones, but I didn't get one.
You should have.
I was gutted.
I bet you were.
Gutted. But they're bringing out some running shoes which do have the self-lacing. I think it could be any day now.
Wow.
So keep an eye on that.
Just in time for Christmas.
Even if you don't get the Michael J. Fox ones, you can still get new Nike ones which self-lace.
All right. Check it out, everybody. The Four Legendary Kingdoms by Matthew Riley. Will it be another 2 years before we see the next one?
Yes, it will. Are you already working
on the next one?
So I've planned out the next one and hope to start it in January, and it'll be the three something something.
Okay,
so.
Starting in January, how long, what are you going to do? Give me your week.
It'll be about, I'll work sort of Monday, Tuesday, take a break Wednesdays, and go Thursday, Friday, and it'll probably take me till about August to do the first draft.
Wow.
And in August, I'll stop, try to trick my brain and forget about it.
Yeah.
And then revise it from about September through to the end of the year. So it'll take the whole year to write the book.
And are you writing this in the same spot, same desk, same? Are you like a creature of habit?
Yeah, I have a little office in the front of my house in LA.
Yeah.
And I have like a 1988 Die Hard poster on the wall and a Robocop poster. And I've got a little Indiana Jones truck, a toy on my desk, which has Indiana Jones going under it. Actually, you'll dig this the most.
Yeah.
This is the cool stuff you get in LA. There is this great record store called Amoeba Records.
Yeah.
And they had a Die Hard box set of DVDs. I didn't care about the DVDs. I've seen all the Die Hard movies a million times.
Yeah, yeah.
It came with a model of the Nakatomi Tower.
Wow.
Which is like this big.
Wow.
So now on my desk, I've got Indiana Jones going under the truck, and I've got the Nakatomi Tower sitting there on my desk.
That's hilarious.
And so it is the same place every day, but those little mementos of favourite movies, they sit there.
Keeps
and
you going.
It tells me what I want
to
do.
So, and do you write? Do you go 9 to 5? Do you have a set amount, or do you say, I've got to write 1,500 words today? How do you do that?
I don't do the word count.
Yep.
I do it by a scene. So I start at about 8:15. And I'm usually done by about 2. So
yeah, okay.
9 to 5.
So you're like, at the outset of the day, you're like, I'm going to finish this bit today.
That's right. That's right.
Wherever it takes you, it does.
Do you make yourself a sandwich or do you go out for lunch?
Great question, Nathan.
I often write through lunch because I'm so sort of into it. I'm sort of seeing this movie going across my brain.
And then lunch is your reward.
And then suddenly I'm like really hungry and usually I go out.
Okay. What do we get? LA food? Like all that, like kale sushi or something?
You know, there is so much sort of kale smoothies, and they do a kick-ass breakfast burrito near my house, which is just scrambled eggs inside a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have one of those.
Effective.
How much does that set you back?
Oh, it's about 12, 14 bucks.
Ooh, American.
It's big though. So it's actually two meals. You wouldn't eat it in.
So it's the size of a baby.
Yeah. It's American size.
It's American size.
You'd have half at lunch and then half at dinner.
What an insight into your life. Matthew. Well, we'll see you in 2 years for the next one.
Yeah.
Hey?
This is Nathan, Matt and Sean. We are talking about when you become a charity case. Was it awesome?
Em is in Alexander Heights. Hi, Em.
Hi.
Hi, Em. Now, what happened?
A little while ago now, my husband lost his job, and it was around about 8 months that he was unemployed. Mm. And for a family with four young boys who eat enormously.
Yes.
That must be terrifying.
I'm a member of a community or organisation called Australian Doers, and everyone in the group secretly organised food drops and gift cards, and one lady went out and bought our entire house food shopping for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it pretty much for a really long time got us through, and you know, we were able to pay some bills and put petrol in the car because I didn't have to worry about paying for
You know what? This
Emma,
is when
great.
Communities rally around you, and because you know what, everybody that can happen to anybody.
Yeah,
and especially in today's economic climate, especially here in WA, they reckon we're about to head into a big, super dark recession. So, wow!
Yeah, how lovely to have that support, Em.
It was. They're an amazing community, and you know. Many times. I don't know what I'd do without them. So,
as Greg Kyle would say, hooli doola.
And Em, have you been able to repay by doing someone else some favours like they've done as a group to you?
Pay it forward.
I have done a few things, and I'm, you know, always, it's always a return thing, and, you know, you put out what you get.
You know what, and a lot of people, they're too proud to ask everyone, so
that's right.
You do know that someone's going through something, just
make the offer. Absolutely.
Food, yeah, dropping some, like, you know, a dinner off is huge. It means so much. So.
Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Em. Well, thank you.
I'm still happy for a water feature at any stage.
Let's go to Michelle in Mandra. Hi, Michelle.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Michi. When did you become a charity case, Michelle?
Oh, it was in August. My husband had a hip replacement. He's only 51 and he was full of arthritis, so they had to replace his hip. But in January, he had to go over to England because his mama passed away and he used up all his holiday pay. He had no sick pay, no pay at all left.
Yeah.
And we had all the neighbours rallying around the street behind our backs. But we had people knocking on our door with all these items and they donated all their possessions for us to have a garage sale.
Oh, they did not.
Yeah, they did. Well, I had a lounge room and a carport full of boxes and stuff to sell to make money to help us pay our rent and put food on the table.
Oh, man.
And then another little old lady came down and she had a car, like a back seat full of shopping for us. She knew that we had food, like the basic eggs and bread. So it was like charity. I felt bad, but... yeah, they were just so caring. It was so nice to have people.
But you know what? You've been on the receiving end now, so what that does is you're going to look out for someone that's in need, and this is just going to be an ongoing thing. It's fantastic. Yeah. This is why I know a lot of the times these days, a lot of people don't want to get to know their neighbours because they think it's going to be a hassle and they don't want any issues, but this is when knowing your community really pays off.
This is the thing, and it binds that community together. When everybody's helping or working towards a single cause, it makes such a big difference. Yeah, and when you're the beneficiary of that... just opens your heart to all the people around you, doesn't it? This is Nathan, Nat and Sean. We're hearing some really heartwarming stories of when the community rallies around a family that really need it, like the McManuses, because Megan's in hospital, foot surgery yesterday. Yeah. So, you know, she's obviously, even when she gets home, she's still going to be recovering and not going to be able to do all the things that you demand of her.
Don't forget about me when she's home, guys. That's what I'm saying. I just want to throw it out there.
And Sean's been pushed to the edge. I mean, all of the hired help around the house, I mean, they're taking care of the manicured lawns and stuff like that. So Sean really needs some help in the kitchen, because where's the wait staff and the butler?
It's holidays, actually. Holidays for them.
Tough, isn't it?
Ahead of the business season. If you can help Sean out, though, he'll take anything.
Stay strong, Sean.
Anything good.
Anything good. Anything good.
Good.
He won't take anything. Rob's in Ashby. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Hey, good,
now,
Rob.
Now, what happened?
About four or five weeks ago, we had a house fire and sort of just took off the whole roof, and the fire brigade came and they were fantastic, put the fire out, but the ceilings dropped and ruined pretty much everything we owned.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the greatest thing was our friends got around and got together some money so we could sort of get through, because we had to pay bonds for a new rental to live in.
Of course.
And obviously replace clothes, because we literally had the shorts and the shirts on our back. But, they got together and got us a trip to Bali for when the house is finished. And a big shout out to the Spring Hill mums and family. They got together and bought my wife enough wine to get her through for a week.
Wine.
Well, that's important. That's the most important thing.
I mean, she's wearing the same outfit for a week, but wine.
Hey, Rob, when you, because I've never luckily experienced a house fire, were you there when it was happening?
I was picking up my son from school, but I was. I literally came back around the corner because I'm only 100 metres away, and I couldn't believe the smoke coming from the roof. I thought, that can't be my.
Did you get into the house?
The fire brigade sort of took us in and managed to get a couple of our photo albums.
Yeah, because I was wondering what, because you always think stuff. They always say keep your stuff in a box so you can just go in there and grab it. So my second question is: were you so disappointed with the outfit that you had on?
My neighbour actually came over and they've been great. They gave us power to run our pool. But I was wearing some dress shoes with no socks and a pair of footy shorts and a singlet.
So you're ready for formal and casual experiences.
You covered all the bases.
Dress shoes with no socks. You never think of. Good call.
Yeah. Wait, there, put dress socks and dress shoes on to go and pick up your kid?
I didn't actually have any shoes on because it was one of the hottest days going on. I thought, I'll go out and spend some time in the garden and clean up the boat and do some things. So I was just flopping around the house, and you just don't expect these things to occur at that time.
Yeah, so in an emergency, you whack on your Windsor Smiths.
Yes. Hey, Rob, what caused the fire? What caused the fire?
It was a transformer in the roof from the downlight.
Optimus Prime.
Oh, wow.
Caused the insulation in the roof, caught on fire, and
bugger.
Well, it just went from nothing to... burning my house down within a couple of minutes.
So. Wow.
Rob.
That's scary.
Crazy. All right.
Thank you. We're glad everything's okay now. Melissa's in Mount Nassoura. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Mel.
When were you a bit of a charity case, Mel?
Not me, but my husband. Mm-hmm. He sent me on a lovely holiday to the UK for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And while I was gone, he would my mum would ring him every night and say, Patrick, are you eating in or are you eating out?
Yes.
If he was eating out, meant he would go to my mum's house and have dinner.
Yeah.
And eating in would mean that she would call around to his house while he was at work, put a cooked dinner in the microwave, set the timer because you wouldn't even know how long to set the timer for. So when he came home, he just had to press start and it would be heated up.
How many nights did he go hungry because he didn't know how to press start?
No. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.